Morning, people of God, His elect. Wonderful. Wonderful to be here this morning. I don't have the modern means of making notes, so you're going to have to excuse the rustle of pages. Rustle. We knew that He had died. It is finished, He had said. We had watched as His life ebbed away. We had stood while the guards took Him down. Joseph begged for His body. It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb. Wrapped His body and sealed His grave. So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But listen and hear what I say. I've seen Jesus, and He is alive. I've seen Jesus, our precious Lord, alive. And I knew that He saw me too. All that I'd done before doesn't matter anymore. I've seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. It was June 1981 when I met Jesus for the first time. And I can honestly say I've never been the same. I'd like to talk to us tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might have the righteousness of God. What does it mean? Jesus became sin for us. Perhaps the easiest way to address this is to find what it does not mean. First John 3:5 says, "But you know that He appeared that He might take away our sin, and in Him there is no sin at all." For Jesus to have become sin for one moment, He would cease to be God. It does not mean that Jesus became a sinner. What He did was to take our place as sinners. We were the sinners. It also does not mean that Jesus committed any sin. Because even the Pharisees, the ruling class in His day, could not find any grounds to order His execution. They went to Pilate and persuaded him to execute Jesus. Because they, the Pharisees, were scared of the influence that He had over the people in that time. So, God made Him to be sin to us, for us, means that Jesus, though sinless, was treated as if He were not. Although he remained holy, he was regarded as guilty of all the sin in the world. Through transfer, through imputation of our sin to him, he became our sacrifice. He became our substitute and the recipient of God's judgment against sin. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, having saved those who believe, he is now our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Many years ago, a man called E.W. Kenyon was a pastor in Massachusetts in America, said something which I've found difficult to understand. So this morning, I'd like to talk about, we all know Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I'd like to talk this morning about Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And many of you might or might not know this, but 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with a tumor. And that tumor was the size of a grapefruit. It was in between my lungs and had squashed my windpipe so that I could find it very difficult to breathe. And that's how they in fact diagnosed this. But I want to tell you what, I stand here today, many years later, with no recurrence, in complete remission, and I praise God for that. So I have something to talk about in terms of healing. Anyway, what Kenyon said was quite controversial at that time. He said, stop trying to be healed. You already are. Found that really strange, especially when you've got a big tumor in your body. But listen to this. After Jesus became sin on our behalf, something deeply mysterious and powerful happened. The next chapter in the divine drama is recorded in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 5. Prophet Isaiah says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like someone who you turn away from, he was despised and we did not consider him important. This is important. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, struck down by him, and afflicted. The Standard Bible says it this way. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. This passage reveals that the suffering of Jesus went beyond what the human eye could see. It wasn't just the Roman soldiers that beat him, or that an angry mob cried for his death. It wasn't just that. It wasn't merely the crown of thorns, the nails, or the cruel mockery. No. The deepest wound came from God himself. It was divine justice, not human injustice. He was not guilty, yet punished as though he was. The true weight that crushed Jesus was placed there by the hand of his own Father. And that's what stuns us the most. It wasn't just men persecuting him unjustly. It was God placing the full burden of our sins and our diseases on him. It was divine judgment for human rebellion. The sin of every man or woman who ever lived was transferred onto him. But more than that, the sickness of humanity, our diseases, our disorders, our inner brokenness were also laid upon him. Isaiah 53:10, which you haven't got, says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." God was pleased, not in the sense of taking delight in Jesus' pain, but in the sense of fulfilling his redemptive plan. The justice of heaven was being satisfied. Jesus wasn't only being made sin, he was also made sickness. This is the staggering truth that changes everything. On the cross he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These weren't just words of despair. They were the voice of a son experiencing the agony of spiritual separation for the first and only time in eternity. I'll repeat that. This was the voice of a son experiencing the agony of separation from his Father for the first time and the only time in eternity. Because our sins brought separation, Jesus felt what it was like when Adam sinned and was separated from God. Our sins have brought to separation. Our diseases brought to darkness. Our rebellion brought death. And Jesus absorbed it all, spirit, soul, and body. Isaiah 52:14 gives us another powerful image. "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured, beyond that of any human likeness." This means that his suffering was not only spiritual, it was visible. You could see it in his face, you could see it in his body. His appearance was deformed, not because of the beatings alone, but because of the spiritual sickness, that spiritual agony that distorted his very being. This was more than physical damage. This was the invisible agony of the spirit made visible in his body. Jesus wasn't just carrying our sin on the cross like a robe. He became sin in the spirit. He wasn't just sympathizing with our sickness. He became sickness itself. He embodied our pain, not metaphorically, but spiritually. In his inmost being, the hidden man of the heart, he bore the full curse of sin and sickness. This was the spiritual side of Calvary's agony. This is the part that many fail to understand. Yet it is the very core of our healing and redemption. Now think about this. If we could truly understand in our hearts that Jesus became sin for us and that we were united with him in that death, everything would change. His substitution wouldn't just be a religious idea. It would become a living reality in our lives. Most Christians think or treat this as a doctrine. But God meant it to be a revelation. We were not just forgiven. We were included. We were nailed to the cross in him. We were buried in him. Our diseases were placed on him as if they were his own. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised with him, and we sit with Christ in the heavenlies. The sacrifice of Jesus included the totality of the human experience, spirit, soul, and body. His spirit bore our sin. His soul endured our sorrow. His body was crushed for our pain. Every part of him was touched so that every part of us could be made whole. We must not leave any part of our being out of this redemptive transformation that we've all been through. If our spirits were forgiven, but our bodies left broken, the work would be incomplete. I'll repeat that. If our spirits were forgiven, but our bodies left broken, the work would be incomplete. God's plan was to redeem us wholly. And when the heart grasps this truth, not just the mind, disease loses its power. I'll end off with Isaiah 53 from verse 4. Surely. Surely means surely. It means absolutely. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. What does his disease cause? Well, it's pain and it causes suffering. He bore it. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you for this time. We bless you for this word, Lord. For we know, Lord, that there's plenty we need to learn. And Lord, we just pray that you keep teaching us, keep guiding us, keep leading us, Lord. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, who gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.